Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Now, most companies, I would contend, think they're listening to their customers. But what if they're only hearing half of the story? True insights you're about to hear don't come from polite feedback or endless customer surveys. They come from a deep and real understanding of what people perhaps are not saying. And in that respect, I'm going to talk to Liesel Jonkheid, who is founder of the Consumer Psychology Lab. And I want to talk about why real customer research happens sometimes between the lines and how brands and retailers can often get it very, very wrong. So, Liesel, a very warm welcome. And you argue that most companies aren't really listening. They're just simply collecting words or data. Why is that a dangerous mistake?
Thank you, Jeremy. I think the biggest challenge is that when you use data points as such, you don't really understand what drives the feedback. So the danger really lies into not understanding what customers are trying to tell you and where you should direct your efforts in improving customers' experience.
And I suppose there's always the risk that customers will tell you what you want to hear, even if you think you're digging deep. And I guess that's human nature, isn't it?
That's 100% correct. I think our consumers overall have been almost brainwashed into the survey format of asking about their experience. And they know instinctively that it's not really about the experience, because most companies use it as a tool for a KPI or metrics that drive their business goals, but they don't necessarily serve the individuals. So people have adopted the style of just giving whatever is the easy way to get that process over. You know, so they do it in reciprocity. And they want to help the company, but they also know that there are limitations to the benefit for them.
So you talk about something called the fight, flight, or freeze pattern.
Yes, I think, you know, it depends on when you actually engage with a customer and how that experience was, how they would respond. So let's say it's very close to the experience and it was a terrible experience, they might fight. So they might immediately give you a very exaggerated feedback. Like it was, they would use words like it was a complete disaster, it was terrible, etc. However, if you catch them later, they might have had an opportunity to process. So timing there is important. The flight or fight and flight and freeze also comes in, you know, when they want to almost deflect going further. So you call them, you want to talk to them, and they just say it was fine. And it feels like you get an answer, but you actually have no insight in what happened. Because fine is often a way to deflect. So they give very minimal responses. And often they don't even know how to explain it. So they just freeze in that moment. And unless you have a skillful interviewer to go beyond that, that's the apparent insight that you're going to sit with.
So what you're suggesting then is that the researchers have got to pick up on nonverbal cues. So if I hesitate, yes, perhaps in an answer, or if my tone changes slightly, or if I just rush my answer, what you're saying, if I'm hearing you correctly, is that that is more important than the actual answer itself. But you've got to know how to spot it.
Correct. Correct. I think that comes with a level of training and skillfulness of the interviewer, because there's so many cues hidden in the response, whether that pause is just a little bit longer than it would technically be, whether you say you throw out crumbs so that the interviewer can pick it up. Those skills are really that finesse that you bring into the conversation that makes the customer at ease and breaks down those barriers. So in essence, if you are able to listen actively, meaning that you're fully present and that you can respond to those cues of hesitation or on inflection or the frequency of the conversation, you know, the words, or the repetitive of certain words, There are a myriad of different cues that one can pick up in a conversation that tells you there's more than just the words given or than just the response given to you.
But also incumbent on the interviewer not to introduce any bias
yes.
into the questioning, I assume.
Correct, correct. So the interpretation component really sits in the, I think the best skill that I can describe there is the decoding of the emotion, is to zone in on what does it say and then ask or mirror about those emotions to understand whether that is accurate. Because like I say, often people would freeze and just give a response and they don't really know what else to say. Often people lack the vocabulary to explain their emotions or their experience, and they kind of stick to the superficial top level responses. It's mostly because we don't often spend the time to listen. We're very focused on asking questions and the next question, but we don't really listen. And I think that's the skill that brings insights. You have to uncover those. It's not just presented to you.
I mean, this also is applicable not just to consumer research, but everyday relationships as well. I mean, how often haven't I heard my wife say to me, Jeremy, you're not actively listening to me, and I'm busy focused on the television set.
Correct. I think that's the beauty of the skills that we are talking about now. It's really conversational skills. It's the ability to really be present in that conversation and hear what people are saying and what they're not saying. I think there are so much in that space where you can hear there's something else, but you don't unpack it because maybe you don't feel comfortable or you don't give that that sense of safety that you actually care and that you are willing to spend that time to get that to the real answer.
So, Lisa, let me close the loop on the conversation then. What would you say is the biggest mistake that a company can make once they've gone through that process? Hopefully they've listened actively, they've gathered the insights, but it's then just a question of using those insights to make sure that it serves the benefit of the business.
Correct. I think we're focusing on the interviewer and the techniques they should use to be able to get those insights. But the benefit of really getting beyond the surface level responses to business is that when you have a deeper understanding of the pain points and the actual experience, you're as a business able to detect early risk. So sometimes people would say it's fine, but they just walk away. But if you have that insight, you are able to detect whether you are at risk of losing customers, even though they say they're loyal. And you can invest your customer experience efforts and initiatives on reducing the churn and making sure that the emotional value is the highest by the initiatives that you implement in your organization. So your aim would then be to be smarter in terms of how you strategically apply the insights and prioritize what really matters to the customers. Where are the real pain points so that you can address those and improve the experience and hopefully in that process build emotional loyalty and trust in the business.
And I have no doubt that our listeners have listened actively to this conversation. Liesl Jonkheid, thank you very much indeed. Always
so.
Fascinating. Founder of the Consumer Psychology Lab.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.